If you have a Bible, let's turn together this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's begin there. On this day we prepare for the Lord's table, not to mention as we enter into this season of what we call Thanksgiving, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to first, a very familiar passage we've talked about many times. In fact, just a number of weeks ago, you remember we preached on the will of God. We spent a lot of time here. Just a jump off point this morning. If you would allow me, we'll take a break from our study of Mark. We've been systematically marching through the book, the Gospel of Mark, for the last number of months. We'll take a break this morning and we'll just talk about the subject of Thanksgiving. I was thinking about a lot of things during the week, and I think you would agree with me in the history of the world, and I'm no historian, but I have studied church history quite a bit. And if you study the people of history related to the Christian church, it is overwhelming for me as one who studied church history, thinking about specifically the people of God. It is overwhelming, in my opinion, to think about how God has blessed this nation and how He has blessed Christians like you and like me. Amen? Just an overwhelming thought. In the history of the world, there has never been a nation that has had more to be thankful for. I'm just really passionate. I've been talking about this all week and thinking about this all week. First, look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let's begin right here. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And of course, the context here, 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul is concluding this wonderful epistle. This was a great church, the Thessalonian church. They had many, many things right. It's really the only epistle where there's no doctrinal confrontation. He clarifies a little bit the subject of the rapture and the day of the Lord in 4 and 5, but then he closes with just real practical instructions about what it means to live the Christian life. And then we talked about this just 4 or 5, 6 weeks ago. We did that message on the will of God that had such a great response. And we spent time in 18, in everything, look at it with me in your Bible, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I was thinking about the utter simplicity of this passage related to being in the will of God. Are you a thankful person today? If you are, you're in the will of God. If you struggle with the subject of being thankful, you're out of the will of God. And it's just that simple. And I know this can be a difficult subject. We live in a pessimistic time. We live in a day when there's so much to criticize related to government and institutions, and let's be fair, even the church. I mean, you can level lots of criticisms against, well, let's bring it home. I mean, you can, if you want to be critical, you could criticize the pastor from now until till the moon rises. Does the moon rise tonight? I don't even know. Or till the next moon rise. You could criticize, and there's a lot we could be pessimistic about. And like you, I've known some pessimistic, negative people, and these people are everywhere. They're in the church, and like bad apples that spread through the proverbial barrel. One pessimistic person can have an impact on many. And this is a difficult subject. But are you a thankful Christian this morning? I know this message is a good one. I know it receives the blessing of God because this is one of the few statements in the Bible directly related to being in the will of God. What are some things we should be thankful for? And let's move from the lesser. And I don't have anything terribly theologically challenging this morning. This is just going to be a practical devotion just this week. We'll get back to our serious study of Mark next week. I was thinking about a couple of five things that I just wrote down on Tuesday morning that I've been thinking about all week. Let me just give you five things. We're going to move from the lesser to the greater, and I think you'll see this progression on your outline as we go. Five things that we can be thankful for this morning. First of all, I was thinking about our families. Amen? Boy, we should be thankful for our families. And just as a footnote, I've known some people through the years, and I've known them well. And in our sinful world, because of the curse of sin, you have to add this footnote. I realize in a group this size, you may have grown up in a family where there was abuse or violence or alcoholism or sexual abuse or verbal abuse. I realize in a group this size, there's been at least one, and your family life wasn't great. Your parents weren't great. And I'm sorry for that. And I realize that. And I've had very, very close friends who have confided in me about things that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, much less my best friend. And I know some of you have experienced difficulties in your family. But for the overwhelming majority of us, and just as a footnote again, that's because of sin, the curse of sin, the problem of sin rears its ugly head even in the family. But for the overwhelming majority of us, you would agree with me that our families are such a blessing. Aren't they just a blessing? Our wives, our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, our grandparents, our aunts, our uncles. These people that would stick by you no matter what you did on this earth, they wouldn't leave you, they wouldn't forsake you, they wouldn't desert you, they'd stand by you, they'd stand with you. No matter what foolish, sinful thing you did, they would not turn their back on you. All of you young people, all of you teenagers, I know how hard it is to listen to a sermon, and I know what it's like to be a teenager. I've been there. When I was a teenager, I thought my dad was the stupidest guy in the world. You know, and now a couple of decades removed. Well, not a couple of decades, just a couple of years. Let's just say a couple of years removed. That sounds so ominous, a couple of decades removed. A couple of years removed from being a teenager, I think my dad is like one of the wisest guys I've ever met. And you ladies, I mean, you young ladies, you know, you're going to probably go through a time where you think about your mom and you're going to rebel and you're going to have struggles with some of her rules and some of the ways that she does things. And you're going to look back 5, 10, 15, 20 or more years from now and you're going to say, man, my mom, she was so wise and she loved me so much and she was so godly and my dad was so wise. And you know, those days probably aren't today, but they're coming. And you be thankful, young people, for your parents. These people who love you, who would give their literal life for you. Tremendous. All of you parents, you be thankful for your children. You know, spending time with so many of the kids here, you know, real time with a lot of the kids here, it's just overwhelming to me that God would give these children to some of you. It's just overwhelming. I'm thinking, why didn't I get them? Why do you get them? It just doesn't make sense. But that's the world we live in. I mean, I am just crazy about the kids. I mean, they're delightful, awesome, personable, just amazing. I mean, they're so much better than their parents in many ways. And you parents, you be thankful for these precious children. And I have these wonderful nieces and nephews, Terry and I, that are like children. And I'm thankful, you know, for my extended family. My uncles were great men and aunts, and just be thankful for your family. You know, and then I want to take that a step further. You know, there's a big movement today, and you know about this, and I'm not saying anything you don't already know about, but this is important for me to share this because I don't want this to rear its ugly head in our church, and I've worked hard behind the scenes to try to keep balance. You know, God bless the homeschool movement. I mean, it's a wonderful movement, teaching these children the things of God, teaching them theology, teaching them truth, teaching these precious children the way in which they should go, and not depending on others to do that. Oh, amen, praise God for the movement. But there's a danger, and I've lived through this danger, I've lived it, I've looked it in the eye. And if this hasn't reared its ugly head in your homeschool circles, tell me if this doesn't make sense. For so many in that movement, they make the family and they take the nuclear family and they elevate it to a place that God never intended it to be. They elevate it to the supreme place of worship. It's almost become an idol. What am I trying to say? Beloved, the family of God is every bit as important to your family as the mother and the father in God's eyes. Does that make sense? It's not just your family. It's not just the mother and the father and the 2.5-point kids. You know, how do you have 2.5 kids? I don't get that. But I've learned, and all of us who don't have the privilege of having children have learned, and for those of you who are empty, what is it, empty nesters, you learn very quickly that in God's eyes, the family of God, those of us who share the common blood of Jesus Christ, we are the family. Does that make sense? Oh, and I give thanks for not only my family, my mom and my dad have long since been dead, but I give thanks for the family of God. And I can tell you without equivocation, without being melodramatic, without embellishing, when I've spent time with a lot of the kids here, I can't imagine having my own kids and feeling any closer to them as I do the kids here. Does that make sense? That doesn't make sense if you don't have children. But that's the family of God. And you be thankful for that. Other things we should be thankful for. Material blessings. Amen? Material blessings. You know, and this is another thing in our circles, in our Bible-believing conservative circles, you know, this idea of material blessings has become a four-letter, dirty, filthy word. God never intended material blessings to be a dirty, filthy, four-letter word. And you don't have to be ashamed if you earn money. And you don't have to be ashamed if you have a nice house and a nice car. You don't have to be ashamed if you have wonderful creature comforts. God never intended those things to be objects of worship, but blessings from Him. And I know more than you how this has been perverted by that whole movement, that whole cultic sect of Christianity that quote-unquote says, you know, the more you have, the more God has blessed. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about godly people like you who want to be conformed to the image of Christ, who have been blessed by God. Is that something to be thankful for? Go back and study the way people of Luther's day used to live. Go back and study the standard of living that Christians had through the centuries. It is amazing to think about the material blessings that we have. And we should be thankful as long as we don't make them idols, as long as we don't replace God, as the Bible says, wear ourselves out to get rich but have the wisdom to show restraint. As long as we do that, let's just be thankful for the great gifts that God has given us. What a reason to be thankful. Let me give you another category, something to be thankful for today. How about your health? Do you ever give thanks for your health? You know, and again, this goes back to the point we made earlier. I know some of you have struggled with health your whole life and you've had chronic health problems. difficulties, pain. The overwhelming majority of us have gone through long periods where we have been pain-free, our bodies are sound, our minds are sound. Boy, is that a reason to give thanks to God for your health? For these decades of good health, sound mind, sound body. Just a tremendous thought. We take our health for granted. What about the work that God has given us to do, our spiritual gifts? All these, not to mention our jobs, men, the job that God has given you to do, to earn. The Bible says God gives us the ability to gain wealth. Our jobs we should be thankful for. The spiritual gifts that God has given us to serve Him we should be thankful for. All of these things, beloved, we should just pause in this season. We should be thankful for these things. And we're going to move from the lesser to the greater. All of that should be terribly, terribly easy and painless. Let's move on now. Let's move on to something a little more difficult. Move in your Bible with me now. Let's go deeper into this subject. That was just to get you thinking. And if you're struggling being thankful with those four or five things, you're going to really struggle with the rest of this, but I pray the Holy Spirit would bring the conviction and the changes only the Holy Spirit can. Move us to obedience in this area. Look in your Bible with me now at James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Let's move from the lesser to the greater. Things that are very easy, natural to be. I mean, even the unsaved atheist who denies God, who denies Christ, who denies the resurrection, who denies the Word of God, even these people would be thankful, I believe, during the Thanksgiving season for the four or five things I mentioned in point number one. Save the family of God, of course, but you get the point. But our second point goes deeper for the Christian. Look at James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. Consider it all joy. Now, you could translate that, be thankful, be happy, rejoice, consider it all joy, consider it a blessing, be grateful. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, let's go from the, you know, the pool that's 2 inch deep to the can we go off into the deep end? Let's go now into the deeper end of the pool. Very interesting in verse 2. Look at verse 2 with me. Very interesting for the Greek student. All of you guys who have done a little bit of Greek study, you know where I'm going here in verse 2. You spend a lot of time as a Greek student on that word there in your English Bible at the end of verse 2, perasmos, the word we translate in English, trials. It was the classical Greek word for something that breaks a pattern of peace, joy, comfort, contentment, or quote-unquote happiness. Are you with me? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter something in your life that breaks a pattern of peace, joy, contentment, happiness, routine. Terry and I were listening to, anyone ever hear of Johnny Erickson Tada? At the Strange Fire Conference at Grace Community Church, they asked Johnny Erickson Tada to come and give her Christian testimony, and I'll just mention a word or two, and you should listen to that this week. And I'll just summarize, if you don't know the story, this wonderful Christian lady was paralyzed, totally paralyzed. What's the word, you medical people? Is it quadriplegic? If I'm saying that wrong, forgive me. I think it's quadriplegic, paralyzed from head to foot. He had this terrible accident as a young woman. And she's giving her testimony, and it was so very moving. And just the long story short, at the end of her testimony, can you imagine what it must be like to be confined to a wheelchair and be dependent on someone else for everything? You ever think about that? What that would be like? I have a hard enough taking care of myself when I can move everything. I mean, she's totally dependent for decades now. At the end of her testimony, to make a long story short, she says, "I'm thankful to God that He allowed me to be paralyzed, a quadriplegic, because apart from this, I would have never known God the way I know Him today." I don't even get that. But I was moved by it. Look in your Bible, James chapter 1, verse 3. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." And she talked about this passage and what that means to have endurance, to grow in strength, not in your body, but in the inner man. Verse 4, "And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And that's a reference to our sanctification, being conformed to the image of Christ. Beloved, this morning, are you thankful for the things in your life that disrupt a pattern of peace, joy, comfort, happiness, contentment? These are the things God uses to sanctify us so that we would know the Lord Jesus better than we would before. It's so powerful. One more thought, and then we'll take communion together. And just as a footnote, if you remember in the 1 Thessalonians 5 passage, let me just share this before we move on to our third point. Our second point is related to our first, in that in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, "In everything." Do you notice that? "In everything give thanks." Right? "In everything give thanks." That means even for the trials and the difficulties and those things that God permits, that the world around us would seem to be so unfair. One more thought. Turn to 2 Corinthians 9:15. We close here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 is a wonderful place to close this digression. And of course, this is a very interesting context. We spend a lot of time here over the years talking about the principles of Christian giving. That's really the point that Paul makes starting in chapter 8. Principles of Christian giving, giving our money for the work of the ministry. The message today is not about giving. The message today is about the greater aspect of God giving to us. Look at verse 15, and we close right here. 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." The conclusion of this digression that Paul gives to the church at Corinth related to giving money is just a fascinating conclusion. The Bible compares the believer giving money to the work of the ministry in the church with God giving the gift of His Son for the forgiveness of sins. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. And so as we conclude this morning, the supreme reason to be thankful as a Christian has absolutely nothing to do with your circumstances, your possessions, health, job, house, material blessings, family. The Bible tells us to be thankful for the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ going to the cross, shedding His blood, rising from the dead for our justification. Let's pray. Dear God, Holy Spirit, I just come as a thankful Christian, a great sinner, but as a thankful Christian for Jesus going to the cross, for me, shedding His blood for me. Dear God, just pray for your flock here this morning. And just pray that you, Holy Spirit, would produce in us an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thanksgiving, knowing that as we go out of our way to concentrate on this, we truly are in your will, knowing that some of us do struggle with our situation, we struggle with our circumstances, we struggle with things related to the world around us that produce pessimism and a heart of ungratefulness. And so, dear God, Holy Spirit, forgive us for not being thankful in everything. Forgive us for doubting your glorious sovereignty, your purpose, your plan. I just pray that each one in this room would be known by thanksgiving, and as a church, we would be a grateful people. God, you are so kind and merciful and loving, and even in the things that make us weep and mourn, even the things that drive us to tears, we have the confidence that you allow them, you permit them for a greater purpose, that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.